Report time certain, 864.
Accept illegal gun control, gun ordinance oversight committee report.
And I will turn it over to Chief Hendricks.
Good afternoon, Mayor Adams, Commissioners. My name is Assistant Chief Eric Hendricks, Portland Police Bureau.
Good afternoon. I am Amrit Sandhu. I am the Mayor's Public Safety and Peacekeeping Policy Advisor. Today, you will be hearing a report from the Illegal Gun Ordinance Oversight Committee. I realize that this is the first time you'll be meeting them. Would like to let you know it's an outstanding group of people. They all have public safety backgrounds, and we're very lucky to have them working with us on this. I thought it would be helpful to do a quick review of the gun safety ordinances. As council reviewed in December, homicide was found the fourth highest ranking cause of death for ages 15 through 24 in the state of Oregon between 1999 and 2007. Homicide was also the fifth highest ranking cause of death for ages 25 through 34 in the state of Oregon during the same time. Portland has seen an uptick in race-on-race violence, and although persons of color make up a minority of the Portland population, they're overrepresented as victims of gun violence. The gang violence response team incidents for 2010 had increased by 20% since the previous year, and since January 1 of this year, there have been 57 gang-related shootings. These are the statistics council reviewed in passing the ordinance. The chart below shows homicides generally and then homicides involving firearms, and you can see how many homicides did in fact involve firearm use. Our office responded with a comprehensive approach by studying what other jurisdictions are doing to address the problem, which organizations can help us address gaps and opportunities, and recognizing that law enforcement alone will not solve the violence problem. We were seeking additional tools that will help the police solve the problem of gun violence. One of our big partners in this is Mayors Against Illegal Guns, of which Mayor Sam Adams is a partner. That group was created in April 2006. It has over 500 mayors as part of the coalition, and its goal is to protect communities by holding gun offenders and irresponsible gun dealers accountable. One finding of the coalition was that states with weak gun laws are the top sources of guns recovered in out-of-state crimes. We examined the local laws of New York, New York, Boston, Massachusetts, Erie, Pennsylvania, and others. Council passed five parts of the illegal gun ordinance. Those parts were a special curfew for juvenile firearm offenders, endangering a child by allowing access to a firearm, failure to report theft or loss of a firearm, an increased penalty for possession of a loaded firearm in a public place, and illegal firearm use hotspots. In that resolution, council asked that an oversight committee be created to update council on the management of illegal firearm use hotspots, and that's why we're here today. There's some information about curfew.
We'll just go through those.
Okay. So curfew is being implemented. Endangering a child by allowing access to a firearm is also something our office is implementing. Endangering a child by allowing access to a firearm with the Bureau and the Portland Police Bureau and the Revenue Bureau. Increased penalties for possession of a loaded firearm are also being implemented. Illegal firearm use hotspots. These are areas where the number of firearm-related crimes are significantly higher than other areas of the city, and persons with firearm-related convictions are excluded from those areas only under two conditions, the first being after a conviction by a court for firearm use or possession laws, and the second being only for the length of probation. Exclusions are enforced through arrest for trespass, and many variances are available for necessary and non-harmful activities. They're designated through Portland Police Bureau data regarding the location of shooting calls, aggravated assaults and attempted murder with a gun, and all gun-related murders. We have some data from the Portland Police Bureau.
Just a little bit. And as you, Mayor, Commissioners, you can see this information, the hotspots are pretty clearly designated by the darker shades on the map there. And not surprisingly, the hotspots are relatively historic, Inner Northeast Portland, the Downtown Entertainment District, Old Town area, and then further east along the Max Line, 148th and Burnside area are the three hotspots.
There are more maps that show more of the same firearm activity throughout Portland, and you can see that it's concentrated in the areas Assistant Chief Hendricks just outlined. Currently, these are the boundaries of the illegal firearm use hotspots. One thing I'd like for Council to note is the East Portland hotspot boundary has been changed. When this ordinance was passed by council, the boundary extended to 162nd Street, and that extended into the city of Gresham. So the bureaus had to scale it back, and the ordinance will be amended next week. The Oversight Committee was asked by council to meet bimonthly, report their findings to council every 6 months, make sure the data supports continued designation of the hotspots, assess the use and need for these ordinances, and make sure there is no disparity of treatment. Wanted to highlight some of the other work the mayor's office is doing to address this problem. The mayor is continuing to participate with the Local Public Safety Coordinating Committee. That's a coalition involving county and other public safety partners. And that committee is continuing to work on establishing a single phone number that gang-involved and gang-affected individuals or their families or supporters can call in order to be matched with services and support. We understand that the ordinance in and of themselves will not solve the problem that we're seeing in Portland. Our office is also continuing to attend gang violence task force meetings. The mayor, our Director of Public Safety and Peacekeeping, Antoinette Edwards, our Office of Youth Violence Prevention are attending meetings twice a month to address gang violence issues in our community and share information and resources. This summer, gang violence task force meetings have included updates on programs being offered to youth in our community to extend services and support. And the mayor's continued to be involved with Mayors Against Illegal Guns. Their goal is to work to fix gun background checks and keep guns out of the hands of people who misuse them. According to Mayors Against Illegal Guns, 7,278 Americans nationally have been murdered with guns since the Tucson shooting, which killed 6 and wounded 13, including Arizona Congresswoman Gabby Giffords. And here is the gun, the fixed gun checks truck in front of City Hall last March.
So, Amrit, how many more slides do we have?
That's the final slide.
Great.
And next you'll be hearing from members of the Portland Police Bureau in charge of implementing this ordinance and then the Oversight Committee.
Can I just ask one question? You may not remember off the top of your head, but did we, Mayor or staff, did we appropriate anything? Did we do a separate appropriation to support this work in the budget?
We did a separate appropriation related to not only to support not only this work with the DA, but also with illegal drug dealing and hotspots around town. So
there's some new money that is flowing into this process.
I think it's a modest yes, $120,000 or something.
Mayor, yes, that's about correct, and that's more than modest in my estimation, but yes, thanks, Commissioner.
Sir. Did you have more you wanted to add?
Just a little bit. Before I introduce Lieutenant McGranahan from the gang enforcement team and Sergeant Resch from the gun task force, Mayor, Commissioners, thanks for allowing us to come forward and talk about the new firearms ordinances and the gun task force. Just a little historical data, if you will, is the last 20 years, our crime right here in Portland has fallen dramatically. It's about half of now what it was in the mid to late 1980s, which is, I think, a testament in part to the work by the men and women of the Portland Police Bureau. But nevertheless, there's, as you know, we all know there's still work here in Portland that we need to do to make our neighborhood safe. The last 2 years, the bad news, we have seen an uptick in gang and gun violence. We're working hard with our partners here in the community to make those neighborhoods safe and address the problems. We think the new firearms ordinances, working with the gun task force, provide the police bureau with an effective tool or tools to help address this problem. I would like to thank Lieutenant Dave Hendry. He's in the chief's office now, Lieutenant Tom McGranahan from the gang enforcement team, and Sergeant Jamie Resch from the gun task force, who you're going to hear from in just a minute, to help for their work in helping to implement the ordinances and make the gun task force the success that it's been.
All right. Next panel. So thanks for being here. Who would like to go first?
I'll go first. Great. Mayor, Commissioners. We have a, I don't know if we do the slides or kind of how we've implemented the gun ordinance.
So would you turn the slides on? There we go.
As you know, the council passed the gun ordinance in December of 2010. In January 20th, 2011, the chief Reese sent out a memo explaining the ordinances as applied to the first three, the endangering child, allowing access to firearms, failure to report a firearm as from being stolen, and possession of loaded firearm in a public place and with enhanced sentencing. Officers that received training at our in-service, I believe it was a two-hour training block on the new ordinances. All cases from the gun ordinances as it applies are reviewed by the on-call gang sergeant. The Multnomah County District Attorney's Office also reviews all cases to make sure we have a second layer of scrutiny. We're working to integrate our data systems that we have impacted youth that would be impacted by this system. Get officers have received training on the gun ordinances, and they initially have exclusively been the officers from the police bureau doing the enforcement on the gun ordinances. The get sergeants have been trained to do the safe streets and have the authority to take children, youth from who are committing crimes, take them off the street and take them into custody. And we're also working with follow-up with youth to make sure who are arrested by these crimes that they are treated and seen from counselors and the DOJ, from the outreach group, and school counselors. We're also working on the exclusion form. I thought we had the fourth draft, which was finalized today, though, as we're talking with the Gun Ordinance Oversight Committee, they found one more fix we're going to make, so it'll be a fifth draft. That should be finalized, and we're still using the current form, issuing the exclusion forms as they are now. The Gun Task Force has begun issuing the Gun Task Force. We've started having them issue the exclusions as well as they're making arrests for gun charges. Working with the Oregon Youth Authority and Multnomah County Juvenile Division to identify children or youth who are on the caseload who would be impacted by this, do an education process with them, as well as issuing them exclusions. And the appeals process has been identified in new forms that are all at the precinct. So if someone would like to appeal it, they can come to the precinct and they have the proper forms to take care of that. We also have worked on to establish a process when the person is convicted. We know that they've been convicted, the exclusion then takes effect, and we've worked on how that would activate the exclusion process. And we're also working to identify when a firearm is stolen, and the serial number is not reported, how that information gets to the Bureau of Revenue, who then sends a letter requiring the administrative fee. Our next steps are we're trying to get ready to roll this out to the precincts, so it's bureau-wide enforcement. Our first steps are going to be, we have a gang training starting next month, or I'm sorry, this month. We'll be doing the gang training, taking the officers who are specifically interested in identifying gangs and working with gangs. We'll be doing this training with this group of people. Gun Task Force is now on board, and we'll be looking at other specialty units to start working to the enforcement of the Gun Task Force or the gun ordinances. Then we'll be issuing a Tips and Techniques, which is our bureau form that goes out to everybody on how we how to apply this ordinance. And again, the boundaries. Actually, I like going to Gresham, so keep 162nd.
It was only if it was legal.
Yeah. I'm done.
Great. Sergeant Resch?
You're done. All right. Well, Mayor and Commissioners, thanks for asking me to come. I was brought, I think I have a slide maybe on there. I'm not sure.
Oh. I'm sorry. The gun exclusions, just so you can see, we are targeting the right population, the children or the youth who are being selected. 23 are designated gang members. 31% have gang activity. There's only one. One was not has no gang associates in the system. It's actually a very mild history. And then five have no documented history at all.
Sergeant. So I was just asked to come give some brief stats. First of all, thank you for helping create the Gun Task Force. It's been very busy, but I think we've been very successful. As of August 1st, we have recovered 141 firearms. I was asked to break that down today, and it's 83 handguns, 16 shotguns, 42 rifles, and 3 sets of body armor that we've recovered during our warrants. We have executed 31 residential warrants, 66 arrests, and over 100 charges. A lot of those charges, obviously, are felon in possession. We've worked really hard to, while incorporate the gang aspect of it, too, but also look at other cases as far as, like, domestic violence. We've worked closely with our domestic violence reduction unit in incorporating those people as well. So of the cases that we've had, 11 have been presented to be federally prosecuted. 15 have been related to domestic violence, and 24 of those cases have had strict gun ties to it. Right now, we have 20 active cases that we're working on. 16 of those look like they have gang ties right now, and hopefully 7 of those, if they go as we wish, will be prosecuted federally. And that's the stats that we have right now.
And obviously, when we talked about this at the hearing the council created, and we had partners from the federal government and also the district attorney's office, we really appreciate their participation in the gun and gang task forces as well. For the viewers, I think everyone in the room knows if they're prosecuted on the federal and convicted on the federal basis, they spend a lot more time in jail at facilities far from home.
Correct.
So, thank you very much. And just to clarify, you're the leader of the illegal gun task force, right?
Yes, I'm the sergeant, and there's 4 officers.
Great. And leader of the anti-gang violence task force.
Yes.
Great. And you're in charge of both.
Yes
I am.
Okay.
Just let them know it frequently.
Just get the food chain together.
Exactly.
Unless there's a discussion from council. All right, we'll go to the next panel. Thank
Mayor
you.
Commissioners, thank you.
Thank you.
We have Mike Riddell from the DA's office. I don't know if he's presenting.
Mike, do you want to say anything? Thank you. No, it's we appreciate it again your involvement. It makes a world of difference. Would folks, those that want to testify, please come forward and introduce yourselves and give us your impressions, your early impressions, and as you get seated, I want to thank you for your willingness to serve. We want to keep the peace, and we want to provide for the public safety, and we want to make sure that we're doing that in all aspects and from all dimensions in a fair manner. So your willingness to serve helps ensure that. So who would like to go first? Sir?
Well, it's a pleasure to be associated with these folks. I think you
the record, everyone could state their name just so we have it on record.
We didn't know we had to know that much.
Go ahead.
Mike Verbout. Do you want to do it all at once?
My name is Dave Smith.
I'm Galena Carolyn Easterly.
Roseanne Lee.
Roel Chavez.
Our decision on this format today was to invite the good people that we have the pleasure of having as resource people to us, sort of give some background and information as to what we've been working through in terms of our last three meetings together, getting ourselves oriented, trying to get our selves wrapped around the information base, and that's primarily been our major focus. However, so you can expect to, in the future as we report, our reports will be generated primarily from our experiences that we're experiencing as we go along. We do have a couple of experiences that we sort of piloted on ourselves to help move us along in this process. I guess the thing before I have a couple of people share that with you is in our discussions, most of us have been involved in a number of committees in our lifetime. And we know that sometimes we've been in committee experiences so that whoever created the committee could say that, well, there was a committee and the committee looked at it and so on and so forth. I think what we can assure you that we take our task very, very seriously. We do not intend to be just a committee that someone can point at and say, well, there was a committee. Yes, indeed, there is a committee, but we pledge to you that we are not afraid to ask the questions that we need to ask or to go where we need to go to get the information we need. We feel it'd be a disservice to our fellow citizens and to you if we don't do our best work possible. So that's our pledge to you. And we did pilot a couple experiences that will give you a little bit of an indication of our makeup and how we, at least in some aspects, operate. Dave, why don't you share the pilot that you...
Actually, why don't we do a bio first? Why don't we introduce ourselves to the committee? Would you like to do that, Mike?
That sounds absolutely fine. We try to work by consensus and agreement. So I'll let each committee member introduce themselves. They know themselves better than I know themselves. So, Dave, why don't you go ahead and tell us?
Well, why don't we start with you?
Oh, that was my point. I thought that you were going to, someone was going to collect our bios and give them to you.
Well, just for the viewing audience, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, just let me get my reading glasses because it makes a lot of difference. Well, I'm a retired Portland Public School principal, 33 years as an educator in the Portland School District. As principal at James John, I worked with Jim Francesconi in the county and the community to design and implement the First Sun School. As principal for 11 years at Beach School, I created and received a substantial grant to begin the Spanish immersion program at Beach School. In North Portland, worked with community stakeholders and created and facilitate, even currently, a community networking group called The Gathering. It's called The Gathering because everybody who comes doesn't have time to go to another meeting. So instead of meet, we gather. Created the first annual Celebrate North Portland dinner and awards event. I'm a member of the board of directors of the North Portland Business Association. With the leadership of Dr. Robin Anderson, the dean of the Pamplin Business School, and with Dr. John Down, the director of the Entrepreneurial Center, have created the U of P and North Portland Business Association Business Roundtable to assist small businesses. Work also with the leaders of other parts of the university to initiate programs and activities.
So you are very well qualified.
So I think I understand
right.
that that's all you really want to hear, and that's all I really want to hear, too.
No, I appreciate that, Mr. Smith.
Well, good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Dave Smith, and I was born and raised in the Piedmont District of Portland. After graduating from high school, I traveled around the world and returned both broke and in debt. I then enlisted in the United States Marine Corps and served one tour of duty with the 1st Marine Division. Upon receiving an honorable discharge from the Marine Corps, I attended the University of Portland for a year, where I met my future wife while waiting in the registration line. I transferred to Portland State University due to the relatively less expensive tuition and worked towards a master's degree in clinical psychology, including counseling at the Student Health Center. While still attending college, I was hired by United Airlines. I worked full-time and attended classes full-time until I had exhausted all of my GI Bill funds. After working 31 years for United Airlines, I retired early as a director of customer services. I've been married for 45 years to the same lovely person that I met in the registration line at the University of Portland. We have two beautiful daughters who both live in Portland and keep in close contact with both of us, especially their mother. Since retiring, I've become more involved.
That would be great right there. Thank you. We have the written part for the rest of it. We really appreciate it, ma'am.
I'm Galena Carolyn Easterly, and hello to the mayor and council members. My affiliations, I'll be very brief. I'm with Black Women for Peace, and this is a group that was formed last year out of the gang violence. We work with Portland State University Sociology Department and seeking different kinds of approaches and seeing how to deal with this. I also sit on the African American Advisory Council to Portland Police and have been on that council since Chief Moose created it. Right now, I'm on the North Williams Avenue Traffic Operations and Safety Project Stakeholders Advisory Council, Committee. And when I can get away, I belong to the Ebony Rose City Travelers RV Club and also the National African American Recreational Vehicle Association. And I'm a former board member of Humboldt Neighborhood Association.
Hi.
My name's Roseanne Lee, and I just realized on this resume it's a little old. I've been with the City of Portland as crime prevention for over 14 years now, not 10. And most of that time I have spent working out in the East Portland neighborhood area. But also, I am a neighbor person. I am the block watch captain on my block, have been for about 10 years, which is more difficult than it seems, and I have a lot of sympathy for other Block Watch leaders. I've also been the past, when we had the Weed and Seed grant site over in the Lynch Brentwood Darlington area, I was the chair of the board of directors, and that field, I learned a lot about drugs and guns and gangs and how building neighborhoods to be better neighborhoods can help divert some of that negative energy and help raise healthy kids. Let me see. And before entering professional crime prevention, I was a volunteer assistant coordinator for the Hollywood District Community Policing Contact Office in the Hollywood District years ago, and a past vice president of the Multnomah Hood River County chapter of Mothers Against Drunk Driving. But, you know, and there's more. As you go along in life, you just get more and more stuff. But I think being a mom and a neighborhood person and crime prevention is brings some skills to the committee.
Definitely. So, Roseanne is the commissioner in charge of neighborhood involvement. I'm really glad you're not brushing up your resume because it's already impressive. And I so appreciate both your professional work and those of the crime prevention team and also your volunteering on this committee and all the other community involvement that you do. So thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Roel Chavez. Currently, I'm a case manager with Catholic Charity for Programa Hispano Gang Prevention. Prior work history, I worked for the Department of Corrections Security Threat Management Group at the Oregon State Penitentiary and CCF, which is Coffee Creek Correctional Facility. I work with the gang unit there and don't have that big of a resume because I'm a little bit younger than the rest of the crowd here, but there you go.
Sure, rub it in.
Thank you for your service.
And you said you had a couple of examples of sort of the esprit de corps of the committee, if you could provide
sure.
those quickly.
Dave, do you want to share the pilot program and then your two experiences? And Galena, you had something too, right?
Mike, are you referring to
the form?
We had an experience. we had a meeting a few weeks ago, and we were discussing the form for appeals if you were convicted and you wanted to appeal, and wondered if the form was available in the precincts. And so since we were meeting in a precinct, I volunteered to go to the desk and ask if a form was available. The form was available, but the process to get the form was a bit challenging. There was a past person who was quite accommodating, but coincidentally, there was an officer in the office at the time, and he was what I would say mildly arrogant and rather demanded to know what it was that I wanted and why I was there. And we eventually turned it around into a bit of a bantering session and left amicably. However, reporting back to the committee, we realized that if a person actually wanted to appeal this variance or this exclusion, that it might be rather difficult for them to do that. We've since discussed this with the Bureau, and there's some mentoring, some help, some public contact training that will be offered to Bureau members.
I love the fact that you did what I refer to as secret shopper. That is fantastic. So thank you for that. And did you want to share? There was another experience?
Not really. Not an experience per se. Just to say on behalf of the committee here that we do plan on being forthright in what we're doing. This is a very sensitive ordinance, and we're aware of it. And just let you know that we do take this seriously. Okay.
I have a question. Thank you, all of you, for your service and for being the citizen oversight for this very serious ordinance. There were 13 exclusions, and 8 of them were African-American males. And I wondered if you could comment on your finding that that wasn't disparate treatment.
Well, go ahead. Speak to that.
I'd like to comment around that question, and that is that we've discussed whether or not a race should be an important factor in our dialogue with each other, and we decided that it was important. And the reason that we think it is important is that all of us realize that we, to some extent, have a life and death situation here. If we do our job properly, we may well be saving the lives of young people, especially young people. And so if there's a disproportionate number of people in any ethnic group that we can keep alive, we are anxious to do that, and we do not want to blind ourselves to excluding the racial part of this, especially because it may well indicate that one group of people needs more attention than another. I don't think that probably answers your question.
No, that's really interesting. That's a very cogent answer. And I don't know if anybody else wanted to comment to add more, because I think that's...
comments.
I was just going to say to add to that as you said, they might need more care, but we also want to make sure that we're not profiling and that this ordinance will be used equally where there is a problem. And that's what our job is, I feel.
And you felt when you looked at those cases that there was a problem and that it was being appropriately addressed rather than profiling?
I can't answer that question right now because the committee itself is so new that we are still in the process of digesting a tremendous amount of material. and to formulate our relationships with each other so that we can come to adequate and intelligent findings. So that is a process that we're still going through.
Thank you. That's helpful.
And Commissioner Fritz's question really puts underscores what my hope for your committee is, among other things. Obviously, I really appreciate your own initiative. That's key. But in my look over the past couple of decades in sort of local government, there are racial aspects to the issue of who's getting killed and who's doing the killing. And to help us make sure that we are being fair. We're being fair in trying to prevent the next victim and being fair in terms of making sure that our prevention and law enforcement and all of our efforts, in this case the police bureau, are focused on law enforcement, that is fair as well. So it's a talking about race and geography is difficult, but I'm convinced, based on your backgrounds and your willingness to really dig in for insight, that you'll give us advice and that you'll make sure that we are treating people fairly.
Okay. I think one thing that our group will be looking for, and I know that we'll get, is when we do see a perceived imbalance, to look for what are the other contributing circumstances that happen there. Because, you know, is it the area? Is it some other condition that played into this, not just the fact of race? Race is a factor, but it's not the only one.
And who are the victims?
And who are
the
victims?
What's the race of the victims?
Yeah, that's where we want more information on some of the circumstances. We don't need to know all the details,
right,
but what was the environment? What were the contributing circumstances?
One thing that came up when she was when you guys were talking about the race and where this is happening and how it's 8 out of 14 African Americans or so on and so forth. One of the things that I've learned when I worked at the Oregon State Penitentiary, a lot of the people that came in there for committing the crimes with weapons come from the poverty-stricken areas. One of the things that I've seen is the hot zones are poverty-stricken areas. One of the things that I mentioned to the committee is, as a committee and as a city, we have to educate our young individuals a little bit more on the gang prevention aspect and the prevention of firearms and misuse of firearms. Because it is true, the ones that are getting killed are in the poverty areas, in the hot zones. So we can't change poverty, but we can educate them and teach them the difference of it. But it all starts with prevention. It starts with us.
Don't shy away from the racial issue of victims. It's got to be, we've got to struggle. We as a city have to struggle with both.
We made a commitment to each other on this committee to look at painful things within our committee. And we have chosen not to ignore things that we find difficult to discuss.
Well, thank you all very much. Your willingness to serve, I can tell we've got great folks on the committee. Thank you. Is there anyone that signed up to testify? All right, I'll make a motion.
I didn't sign up to testify, but
come on.
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Thank you. I am Suzanne Hayden. I'm the Executive Director of the Citizens Crime Commission, and I was here at the time that these ordinances were passed and testified at that time. And I just wanted to report back my impressions of the results of the ordinances passing and sort of how that has impacted the community in which I travel, going to meetings and whatnot. I believe that these ordinances have mobilized attention and efforts to address illegal gun use and violent gang activity, and that's a starting point, but it definitely has created a lot of attention. I believe what it has resulted in is enhanced strategic enforcement efforts, increased community engagement, particularly in the faith community, and enhanced supervision of the individuals who are illegally carrying and using these guns. So I've also seen an increased communication and collaboration between criminal justice partners, and I wanted to give an example of that. I sit on several committees. One of them is called the CJAC, the Criminal Justice Advisory Committee, and that is a committee that's more like an operational committee for the courts. The sheriff is there, the DA, the judges, community justice, defense attorneys, and it's a committee that deals with problems that arise in the court system related to criminal cases. And when the ordinances were passed, one of the things that came up at the Youth Gang Violence Task Force meetings out at North Precinct was people were being arrested, and some of them were being released on their own recognizance after they had been arrested for illegal gun charges. And there was concern in the community that we did not know what happened to those offenders, and a judge, they had been released before a judge had seen them. The practice in the courts has been up to June of this year that certain gun offenses were that authority, that release authority had been delegated to release officers as opposed to a judge. So if someone was arrested, a release officer could make the decision on all gun cases except for felon in possession of a firearm, that they could be released according to set criteria before seeing a judge. And this was brought up at the Criminal Justice Advisory Committee to really examine whether that was the best way to do things when there was this intense focus by all of these organizations. And it decided through their discussions that, in fact, the judge needed to change that order. And so currently the practice has been, as of June 27th, Judge Maurer signed, who's the presiding judge, signed an order that any firearms offenses that release decision would not be made by a release officer. That release decision would be made by a judge. And those, in 2010, that was about, would translate to be about 2 to 10 people per month would in fact be held in custody 1 or 2 days more to see a judge and make a decision on whether they should be released. So I think that's just a very good example of increased communication and increased public safety related to these offenses. So thank you very much for your leadership.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because we asked you to facilitate, as you say, the communications, and I would say facilitate a more common sense approach to folks illegally possessing firearms, through the revolving door of the system, being arrested in some cases in a manner that police officers felt presented a real danger to the community, and then immediately being out on the street. You helped facilitate, I think, a much more thoughtful process to dealing with those individuals, and I want to thank you for that.
Suzanne, I want to thank you for your comprehensive approach and that of the Citizens Crime Commission. I appreciate your work on the Bazelon Committee that we're going to be having a presentation next week. I hope you can come back where we'll be talking about other methods of intervening so that the police don't come into contact with people with mental illnesses as first responders. So you are very aware and you evidence in a lot of the work that you do that it's not one thing that's going to be a single-minded approach. This has to be comprehensive, has to look at all the factors, and I greatly appreciate all of your work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So, entertain, I move acceptance of the report, and in doing so, the appointments to the Oversight Committee.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Sue, would you please call the vote?
Saltzman.
Well, thank you for this report, and thank you for serving on our Oversight Committee. Aye.
Leonard.
Thank you. All right.
Fritz.
Thank all of the volunteers, especially Mike, for your leadership at the gathering, which I greatly enjoy every quarter. And Dave Smith, thank you for serving as the chair of the Madison South Neighborhood Association. Each one of you has many different roles that you serve in many multiple communities. And the Black Women for Peace movement, I think, is hugely important. Thank you for that. Your work at the corrections facilities, and as I said, Roseanne is just an amazing member of our crime prevention team. So each one of you brings something special and needed to this committee, and I look forward to your next report. Aye.
Fish.
Well, I was delighted to learn more about each of you and your backgrounds, and we are lucky to have people like you serving in this position. And thank you for your seriousness of your approach to this work, and we look forward to hearing from you in the future. And also thank you for the report. I thought it was very thoughtful and sketched out some issues that are of concern that we'll be tracking going forward.
Adams.
Again, thank you to the members of the committee. I love the fact that you did Secret Shopper. Keep that kind of initiative up and take on all the aspects. Keep going after all the uncomfortable issues that will help us solve this problem. My thanks to Antoinette Edwards and Amrit Sandhu on the public safety team, to the good folks that work each and every day to keep us safe and keep the peace. In the Police Bureau, we're very grateful for your efforts, along with our partners in the county and on the federal level. Thank you. Aye. All right. We will now take back up item number 830, non-emergency ordinance. Can you read the title again so we have a good record of it?
Revised residential solid waste and recycling collection rates and charges to address new collection services, effective October 31, 2011.
All right. Director Anderson, what are we looking at here?
So Bruce is passing out a revised ordinance and rate schedule. This morning we talked about changing the solid waste collection system and rates. We talked about adding food waste and yard debris and collection every week, recycling every week, and garbage being every other week. It was recommended that we come back to you this afternoon and include a once-a-month collection service. And so what you have in front of you is an amendment to the ordinance. If you look at number 7 in the findings, we added a line that said that we would offer an additional option of garbage collection every 4 weeks, not monthly, because 4 weeks we worked with the haulers and that works better for their system and they can come up with schedules that work well that way.
And I like how you worked it out in the hall.
We did.
That was good. That's good.
Good. The sheet here that has colors on it, that is the rate schedule that my trusty team here went back and put together in the past few hours and back to you. What this will allow us to do is, for most customers, they will see no rate increase you know, between now and the next rate increase, which is, or changes, any changes that would happen next July. And then in order to do the once a month, there are some expenses related to that that we talked about in terms of they now have an extra collection. They'll have one more collection because it's not once a month. It's 13. And they also will be getting yard debris and food scraps every week. So the expenses there are $2.60. So the other carts, the 60-gallon cart will go up to $3.50, a 90-gallon, $3.80, and the once a month will be $2.60. I do think this was actually a really good change to make overall. I think it could actually lead to many people going to the smaller, going to once a month every 4 weeks. And I think the $2.60 is not onerous in terms of an impediment to doing it.
Does that work? Thank you for doing that.
Does that work with you? I make sense. So we're going to be amending the ordinance and then...
Just a minute.
And then taking it over to second reading.
Right.
This has been vetted with, obviously, the carters, the haulers. And
not all of them in the past 4 hours, but...
Well, let me ask you this. Who has it been vetted with?
Several haulers, that the people who were here at the meeting, and I asked them to take it back to the group, but their administrative person is out on vacation, so they can't pull them all together. So between now and the actual vote, obviously they will get this information.
And if so, we have that additional safety valve. If it turns out
there's a problem, they will come in to see you in the next week, I'm sure.
Okay. Thank you. Well, they'll have to talk to my staff. I'm going to be at,
right.
taking my daughter to college. But.
And then in Exhibit A, you also have options for recycling only, weekly collection at $7, weekly composting and recycling collection at $17.35, and on-call garbage for $8.40. Those still are in effect in addition to this
yes.
monthly rate.
Yeah, so those who really don't, who really only need garbage collection a couple times a year could choose to stay with just the green and blue roll carts every month and call the couple times a year that they have garbage.
Great. Thank you.
So I guess I'm just wondering, how was it decided to increase the 60-gallon and 90-gallon cart rates?
Those are big cans.
So that's yeah, we part need of to make disincentive.
A cost. So a there's a cost of service, which is the total amount to do all of the service. And if we are going to incent the once a month,
make the motion.
We have to take a disincentive, basically, somewhere else. And there was a decision several years ago to do it that way in terms of what Commissioner Leonard was talking about before, about incenting.
Okay.
So I would move to substitute Exhibit A with the Exhibit A handed out in the afternoon session.
It's been moved and seconded. Does anyone wish to testify on this amendment? Sue, would you please call the vote on the amendment?
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Well, this shows that it pays to show up and testify. Aye.
Friends.
Yeah, and the council is responsive.
And
thank
we
you.
Listen,
well done.
Yeah.
I am currently a monthly customer, so this does amendment does benefit me, but not to a greater or lesser extent than other customers. So I don't feel I need to exclude myself, and I'm so advised by the city attorney. Aye.
Fish.
This is a remarkable turnaround, and to do this, I'm going to ask you to help me with one of my LMCs and one of my bureaus. We're a little stuck on some issues. And this is evidence of how you get things done. I think I could use your help. Aye.
Adams.
I think this is a great amendment and improves upon it. Thank you. I also want to take the opportunity to thank Lisa Libby and Rihanna and the team in my office. Thank you. Great turnaround. It just shows why we have a Bureau of Planning and Sustainability that is best in the nation.
So we just voted on the amendment.
I have to vote. Aye.
So we have to vote on the ordinance, too.
No, I just was thanking people.
Okay.
Now, this moves to a second reading next week, and we don't meet tomorrow, right?
Correct.
We are adjourned for the week. Thank you all.
No. Yeah. Yeah.